Hey gang, since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most number of people are no longer available when people search for them on iTunes. So in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in the search box. But for now, sit back and enjoy this episode on IBS, Crohn's, and colitis that originally aired in March of 2014. And we'll see you next week with a new episode.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Hey, 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 hey. The time is now to start the show. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here today with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, and pain in my butt.
I can't wait to say things.
Oh, yeah. And I just made a funny without even realizing. Pain in my butt, and that's kind of what we're talking about today.
We are going to talk about that today.
Oh, cool. And we also have
not
here...
Not the good kind of pain.
Well, we're going there right off the bat. Okay. We also have with us over there Hottie Will Schmidt, fitness trainer to the stars, and blah, 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 blah. How are you today, Will?
I'm good. Pretty warm.
Aw, well, you look cute.
Thanks.
Yeah. He's got on a tank top because it's warm outside.
It's pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're going to make Tony go a different way.
And take my pants off or another different way?
You know, we've cleared all the kids out of the audience. Mm-hmm. We can proceed.
Well, were kids really listening to us anyways? That's probably not our target. So we can be as filthy as we like.
And go.
Yes.
Filthy.
Here we go. Filthy talk. So today we're going to be talking about the ugly subject that a lot of us have dealt with. I haven't dealt with like these particular things, but I do deal with diarrhea, which sucks. But IBS, Crohn's, and colitis.
It's good
times. I always
thought
colitis was one of those things that you look through and you see. Like,
a colitisograph? Yeah, that's what they call them.
So, yeah. I think I was off there.
I actually saw a spirograph in the story. Remember that thing where you had the pens and had different colors and you'd do circles and it would do all the designs? Uh-huh. Am I the only one that's old enough to remember that?
So.
All the cool kids had a spirograph.
Just thinking what an actual colitoscope
cool
would be.
Yeah, a colitoscope would not be fun to look into.
No.
Yeah, so what makes them different? What are they? What is that all about?
So IBS, it actually stands for, I don't know what the hell is wrong with your ass, but if I give you this diagnosis, I can prescribe a drug to you and maybe you'll leave my office.
Okay.
Because it kind of covers almost anything. And they'll diagnose IBS if you have had intestinal discomfort or diarrhea 3 times in a month, or like 3 times in a week over a 3 month period. It's something where there is no real test where they look to see if you have IBS. Just if you have a consistent flow of some kind of discomfort, constipation, diarrhea, cramping, bloating, any of that, then voila kazaa, you win the IBS stamp.
So, but irritable bowel syndrome, couldn't somebody just like give it some therapy or something if it's so irritable?
If it's irritable,
maybe have it happy again,
Have it meditate?
Yeah.
Have your colon meditate?
Exactly.
No. I don't know if anybody's thought of that, but I don't think that would work.
Start that. Yeah. But meditation for your colon.
I think it's also really important to take a moment to really point out the jargon, and the problems that come when people get scared of jargon. Like if you look at colitis or even arthritis, anything that ends in an itis is swelling. So when I went into the doctor and I used to have this really bad knee problem, you have patella tendonitis. So if you know that itis just means swelling, I said, hey doc, my knee's really swollen right here. What he just said back to me was, hey, your knee's really swollen right here, itis.
Uh-huh.
Patella tendonitis, if you know those. So when you look at colitis, what that means is swelling of the colon. Why is it swollen?
Inflammation.
I'm not fat,
kind of situation.
I just have a swollen colon.
Swollen colon.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good thing.
That can be my DJ name.
Yeah.
One thing that's super important to understand is that there are different variations of actual IBS. They've split it up into 4 categories of constipation, diarrhea, or going back and forth between both. And then the fourth one is just, I don't know. But when you look at these situations, IBS, Crohn's, or colitis, and the diagnosis that a person will get can depend on where the actual inflammation is going on, what part of the intestinal tract it's happening. But it's important to understand that there is no way to treat this symptom. There's no symptom remedy for this, so don't look for one, because there can be so many different causes going on. And that's what we'll kind of try and talk about today, is all the different causes that can create all of these symptoms that can result in a diagnosis of one of these fancy things.
And if you have been diagnosed in them, I think it's a really important thing to meditate on, like the fact that just because you were
given... Colon meditation again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just because you were given a diagnosis, which is essentially a description of your symptoms most of the time, like colitis, swollen, colon, whatever. Crohn's, it's more close to the end of the small intestine, or IBS is just irritated. It's like just receiving that diagnosis doesn't solve anything, and it doesn't conclude anything. Like from you, the active patient's stance in your life and how that's going to impact you. Because if you get overwhelmed, like, oh no, I have Crohn's disease, then you're probably just going to fall into the doctor's lap and do whatever they say, like whatever drugs you take.
I do that all the time.
Right. Well, not for fun. Talking about out of fear. Well, maybe, I don't know. But when you just accept a diagnosis like that, you usually just get scared and stop thinking and just take drugs because they say so. But if you look at, like, well, why are these tissues inside my digestive tract swelling? Then you can start, because if you ask your doctor that, they're going to give you, like, maybe it's partially genetic, it's partially environmental, has nothing to do with nutrition, all these, you know.
Yeah, when you look up the descriptions of any of these things, they all say the cause of these are unknown. And that's basically what they're sticking to. But another thing a diagnosis can do for a person is, because they could be walking around like, what is wrong with my butt? Why does stuff just come out of it all the time? And they feel like I'm a circus freak. There's, you know, something wrong with me. So when somebody's diagnosed with something, it puts them into a group of, oh, okay, it's not just me. A lot of people deal with this. So at least I fit in somewhere and people aren't going to pay two tickets to see me at a carnival or something.
Oh, and before I get, if you guys haven't followed us on Facebook, then you're just totally not cool, because we do the Harlem Shake there.
Mm, right? That's okay. My next video.
So go ahead and like us at Kick It In The Nuts, and we're going to post topics every week about future shows, and you guys can post questions you want us to cover, and, you know, we'll do that.
We post a topic. All the questions you'll hear today are from people that asked them on Facebook or sent us emails, so do that, so if you have questions, you can ask. So before we get into the questions, I want to cover a little bit about IBS, and because there's such a great variance there. A lot of people who are diagnosed with IBS, because it seems to be about twice as many women as men, are being diagnosed with the bloating and the cramping and the constipation. And we have another episode on constipation alone. So if that's an issue that you're dealing with, you can listen to that episode, and we'll go into that things a lot more detail there. Just search for Kick It Naturally on iTunes, and you'll see our old episodes. But maybe we'll talk a little brief things about constipation here, because one issue that people get confused about is, how can I be constipated for 3 days and then I have diarrhea for 3 days? And that can have a lot to do with an inability to properly digest food. So all that food is rotting and fermenting and creating gases, and without enough stomach acid to break it down, it doesn't move through the intestinal tract. The more alkaline that food is from a lack of stomach acid, it moves slower. So a doctor will say, well, you have slow motility. That's what he'll tell you. And if you have diarrhea, you have fast motility. But we're going to talk today about why that happens. Will, you want to talk a little bit about slow and fast?
Yeah. So like you just said, like typically the more alkaline the content of the digestive system is, the slower it will move through your system. So when you have a lot of stomach acid and no bile to make it alkaline, you'll tend towards diarrhea and loose stools. And when it's the opposite, when you don't have good stomach acid production, but your bile flow is maybe okay, then you'll tend more towards really compact stools and constipation. But you can have both problems.
Right. And,
occurring.
And another thing that can create constipation is we talk sometimes about an anabolic imbalance where at the cellular level it's too closed. And you can learn about these imbalances or these issues in our free 4-week digestive course at kickitinthenuts.com. But if the body doesn't have the resources to switch from an anabolic state where the cells are closed and then during a day switch to a catabolic state where the cells are more open, they can get stuck in one state. And if the body doesn't have the resources to switch back and forth like it should, then all the water can either go through the kidneys and not enough to the bowel, which will make you constipated, or too much water can go to the bowel and not enough to the kidneys, and that'll make your stool all loose and diarrhea action kind of thing. So what can happen is a person can get stuck in that constipated state for 3 or 4 days, and everything's backing up, and like poop is coming out their ears, and then the body's like, well, this isn't going to work. My ears smell like poop. So it'll take all the resources it can, switch the person over to a catabolic state, and then they're stuck there, and now they're having diarrhea.
But is it better to like have diarrhea as opposed to be, you know, constipated? Is there something that's better? I mean, they're probably not, either one of them are good, but
right,
would it be better to get it out of your body than to have it all stuck in there, compacted?
It can be both, can have their downsides to them. You know, there's problems that can come from constipation where the body can't get rid of filth. But with diarrhea, all the food that you're eating is moving through the intestinal tract too fast and you can't absorb anything, so you can't get any nutrients. And what happens then, Will?
Right. Well, both of them are problems. I guess you could look at it short-sighted, like, well, if someone has low blood pressure, having diarrhea would be just horrible because like that would tend to make them even lower and lower. Whereas constipation, well, it's still not comfortable. Like, they won't feel like such a train wreck as if they had low blood pressure.
Right. They may feel lousy, but they won't fall apart and be hardly a human and unreasonable and all those things that can come with low blood pressure.
Right. Whereas if you are trying to lose weight, maybe diarrhea would be better, but you would still have issues with blood sugar because if you're not digesting your food, you're just going to probably be eating a lot of sugary things.
Yeah, you're going to crave all that junk.
Yeah, so and that'll keep you fat.
So. Right. So you want neither. You want poop that you can talk about and show your kids.
I want to be proud of my poop.
Right, yeah.
Well, my sister lives off of Metamucil and X-Lax and stuff, and she can go literally for over a week without pooping.
Right, that's real bad.
Yeah. So she needs to listen to this episode. I'm going to make her.
Basically, when that's the case, you're full of crap.
Yeah, she is too. She's full of crap.
See how that works out?
Time.
Yeah, exactly. So you need the waste in your body to get out of your body. That's why we have a butt.
Okay.
It's made for that.
All right.
So you really want to do that. So when we're looking at IBS, in that scenario, if that's you, if the bloating, the cramping, the constipation, you know, that bloating is coming from food not being broken down and rotting and fermenting, and then your intestinal tract expands, and then that's painful. It's not supposed to expand that much from all of that gas. So that can create a lot of discomfort. So check out that constipation episode, and we get into a lot more detail about that. But we need to get into a lot of loose stool issues here too with Crohn's and colitis. So do you want to talk a little bit more about what bile does and how it neutralizes acid to keep it?
Yeah. So bile is literally an alkaline soap that your liver makes and your gallbladder stores and concentrates. And the gallbladder should squirt bile onto the food after it leaves the stomach and enters the duodenum. So think of like that food that just left the stomach. It should have got all acidified by the hydrochloric acid. And then the bile should literally chemically collide with that acidic food sludge and create a tiny little explosion in the duodenum where the nutrients are liberated from the food and the fats are broken down. Because bile is a soap, and if you can think about like having oil on your hands and trying to wash oil off without soap, it doesn't work that well. But when you have soap, it comes off really easy because those lipids are broken down into tinier and tinier pieces that your body can then use. But if it doesn't break it down, then it just occurs to the body as a toxin, and that creates a whole mess.
Right, so think about if this bile is what neutralizes the acidic food that's coming out of the stomach. If that bile is not flowing properly, which is very common, bile can become too thick and sticky for a lot of reasons, and it can get backed up and it won't flow. So now there's no bile flow, so the acid comes out of the stomach and there's nothing to cool it off. So it starts moving through the intestinal tract, still as hot as it was in the stomach. Now, the stomach is made to hold those acids, but the intestinal tract is not, because those acids are made to break down protein. And what is your intestinal tract made of?
Protein.
You got it.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Gold stars. So if that acid, if all those acids are not neutralized, now they're going to start breaking down the intestinal tract, and your body's going to be like, this is really not good. So it starts screaming, get this stuff out of here, and it brings all the water to the intestinal tract to try and cool it off, and then it goes shooting out the back door, and you lift off the toilet by 4 or 5 feet, and that's not fun. But it makes sense. So if it makes sense, then you can start looking at, okay, how do I correct this issue?
And then you can also start looking at, like, what are the manifestations inside of these diseases? And you look at, like, ulcers and inflammation. What would happen to your hand if you poured a bunch of really strong acid on your hand?
Yeah, like, right? And you did it every day.
Yeah, every day, every time you ate.
Right.
You know, like, that's intense, right? And that's what happens to your gut when you don't have bile to flow there. So think of, how is the intestinal tract going to actually stay intact if you're pouring battery acid on it every 3 times a day?
Right, you know? And the acid in your stomach is as acidic as the battery acid in your car. So it's a good analogy to understand that, this is why I'm having trouble.
Yeah, and there's also, like, the possibility of, like, some theories are that in Crohn's and colitis that these lesions are caused by microbes that can infect the tissue of the intestinal tract, because the host or the person with the symptoms has weakened immune system or weakened tissues. And when we look at the catabolic state, those tissues are in a weaker state. They're too permeable for their own good. They are dying off and falling apart too quickly anyway. So yeah, they are more susceptible to microbes at that level. And this acid bath is just way too harsh for them anyway.
Right. So if someone is stuck in that catabolic state where their tissues are always breaking down and they never move into the rebuild, then yes, they would become more susceptible. And we'll talk more about microbes and even grains and other things that can cause the more diarrhea type issues, but in the majority of the cases we see, it is a lack of bile flow, and that's always the first thing to fix before you look into any other issues, in my opinion. And we teach how to there's supplements that you can use to help thin the bile and make it flow better. A coffee enema can kind of unplug a backed up gallbladder from the other direction, and that can be really helpful.
Good colonic?
No, a colonic won't do anything, but a lot of colon therapists, yeah, they do coffee enemas too, and that can be helpful. They also have coffee suppositories. I think we use one called Zenoplex.
Oh, you gave me one the other day.
Oh, questions. Let's do some.
Okay. Joanne from Los Angeles. My brother has IBS and his meds haven't improved his situation at all. Is there a med that people are having success with, or is there a more natural solution? Good question, Joanne.
Way to go, Joanne. And, you know, thinking about her brother not seeing any results, understand that this is like a life debilitating situation to have. I mean, the people that have the chronic diarrhea situations, a lot of them can't leave the house without knowing where the bathrooms are that they can access immediately.
That sucks.
Because that you don't know when it's going to come on, and when it does, you either handle it now or you're also buying new pants. It's a big deal.
And when your digestion isn't working well, and all these foods are just landing in your body as a toxin, that leads to major terminal illnesses like cancers and things like that, which is, I just saw a client just yesterday that she had IBS as a kid, and then she got early onset of a couple different kinds of cancers, and they're all connected.
Whoa.
Right, and we won't say that that's an absolute thing, but you have to, when you look at different types of cancers, a lot of them are caused by, you know, constant irritation at the cellular level and those kind of things. So it's always good to take care of problems like that.
All right.
So her question is, that's what we'll talk about today, Joanne, is that, there is no natural solution for this issue, because when you look at the different types of symptoms that go along with all of these things that are basically grouped into one group, they're so, so different. So we have to understand that they're caused by different things. So it's more important to look at the person, what's going on, what's going wrong, why is it happening, and then what can you do to improve that issue?
Wow.
Yeah,
that
and
sounds
with
like a lot of work.
Well, jeez. I mean, the heart of it is when she asks, "Is there a more natural solution other than like trying to find which med is right for her?" If she finds out which symptom it is that she has, it's fixed digestion. You know, look and see, like, take our free 4-week course on correcting digestive issues and do your best to fix every aspect of digestion that we talk about in that, rather than trying to like find the right med to quell your particular symptom.
Right.
And you can take that at kickitinthenuts.com.
Thanks.
Okay. John from Green, Ohio.
I take a lot of probiotics during my rough spells. It seems to help. Also, narrowing my bee hole saves on toilet paper. Follow the 6 to 9 minutes exactly. I'm about a 7.5. What does that mean?
I don't know this. Well, okay, so we'll come back to probiotics in a minute because we have to get to John's more pressing issue of him narrowing
his bong hole.
When he says follow the 6 to 9 minutes, is that how long you leave narrow on or something?
I think maybe. I don't know.
6 to 9 minutes exactly? Wait, that's funny in itself.
But you know,
if you leave it longer, it takes the skin off.
I don't know. About it, if a lot of people are on the toilet 10 times a day, that's a toilet paper investment. So I mean, he's actually found something that helps him save some money, I guess. With probiotics, there's a lot of validity in that, but it's usually not the answer.
I wonder how hairy his beehole was.
Baby clean now.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, instead of combing out all the poop each time, you just narrow it, and then you're
threads down there. Right. What's he doing?
But probiotics, they are helpful. They're a big important part of digestion. But I think the approach we tend to take is like, if you balance the chemistry of it, they'll be there and they'll be healthy. You know,
right? And if you have chronic diarrhea, every time you have a diarrhea episode, you just fried them. All your good bacteria just got fried. And you need to replenish that. So it's kind of hard to keep up. But what we have found is that a lot of these chronic diarrhea issues are from people in a very overly catabolic state all the time. And it causes the bile to become too thick. And because water's going to the wrong place. And when the bile can't flow, then we have diarrhea like we just talked about. And there are some probiotics that can push a person more anabolic. So if a person finds that right one and he uses them in a high dosage, I have seen a lot of people where they have success doing this. There was a guy who wrote a book, Patient Heal Thyself, Jordan Rubin. And that's what he did, is he used probiotics to heal his own Crohn's. But the doses he was using were very high, and it was likely a situation where it was high enough to push him out of that catabolic state so that the water could help the bile thin a little bit and flow better.
Yeah.
So it is a factor that could help for some people, but there are also easier ways to do it to where you don't have to worry about every time you have diarrhea, you just fried all of your progress.
Yeah. And I think one other thing to point out too is that the digestive breakdown or problems that we have are really like generated and kind of sustained by the deeper imbalances, like the anabolic catabolic issue or even electrolyte levels and stuff. So a lot of times we will, as you say in your books, cheat by fixing digestion with digestive supplements like BeetFlow or HCL and things like, or even probiotics could be lumped in that. But they will help us get the nutrition to fix those imbalances which cause the problems in the first place. It can get you out of this catch-22 situation.
Sure.
Of the imbalance ruins your digestion, and without good digestion, you can't fix your imbalance. So we cheat and fix digestion. But if you don't also like eventually go and fix the actual imbalance, you're gonna perpetually have the same digestive problems happen again when you stop taking the supplements. And that's a concern with a lot of my clients, is they don't want to be on supplements forever.
Right.
And they don't have to be, but they got to learn about their body chemistry and how to really fix those imbalances on a deep level.
What is it with people and pills? You know, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I have it too. It's like, oh, I have to take these pills. Oh,
every time
pills,
you go party, you're like,
yeah,
can we just shoot it?
Yeah.
But,
oh, well.
And a lot of people have just had a bad stigma. And plus, there's so many supplements out there that have binders and other things in there that don't allow the body to use them properly, that they become worthless and can even be harmful. So then supplements can get a bad name and people think that applies to everything. But when your body needs help, it is a good way to get the concentrated nutrients that you need to fix you know, that specific problem. The other thing that you were saying is that if you don't change food, then you're just going to go back to the same issues, because there's a lot of preservatives and chemicals and all this garbage that's in our food now that seems to add to the thickening of the bile so that it doesn't flow well. So moving more to real food can improve that situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Kyle from Montreal, Quebec. Reading up about ulcerative... Oh, God, here we go again. There's that word.
Ulcerative
colitis. I'm finding mixed information on a diet that will minimize the effects of colitis. Of course, there are medications that seem to be standard prescriptions that help but don't cure. The goal is to achieve permanent remission. Are there specific diets that work, or should you just focus on eating healthy overall? My hope is to not rely on medications to be symptom-free. I hope that for you as well, Kyle.
That's a good question, Kyle.
Yeah. Oh. Ow!
Yeah, that's what you get.
Yeah, damn it.
I'm letting Kyle's voice drift from guy to girl. I guess I didn't like that voice.
Yeah, I guess I don't know why.
Did Kyle become a girl during the reading?
Yeah, I was going to try to do Canadian, but there was no a boot.
You turned to like
say.
A British woman. Right.
One good thing to look at with this is that there are other causes beyond these digestive issues that we're talking about. Grains can be a problem for a lot of people. And when we talked to Rob Wolf for our movie, he explained it the best that I've understood it, is that, you know, animals have defense mechanisms. Like a deer, it has antlers. You know, a porcupine has those spikes. And plants can be the same as well. See, that's the bug I was trying to get. I wasn't really smacking it. Grains seem to have a situation where they can... irritate the intestinal tract in its attempt to not get that animal to keep eating it. Of course, we're people and we're dumb and we just keep eating it anyways. But grains can cause a lot of damage to our intestinal tract. So if that's the problem that's causing your issues and you cut out all grains, there's a chance that you could see some improvement. But if your chronic diarrhea is from a lack of bile flow, then it doesn't matter the foods that you change in the immediate, because you still have to fix digestion. You still have to improve that bile flow and thin the bile so it's not all backed up and not moving.
Right. And like another issue I think we were talking about before the show is when people have heavy metal issues, and it can sometimes make them more susceptible to parasites, and that can cause damage to the gut, like leaky gut syndrome and stuff. So there's a lot of different factors out there that are important to look at. And if you go through the digestive issues course and you do everything we recommend and you're still having issues, you got to keep looking.
Those are the things. Yeah. You know, the heavy metal can be a big deal. Heavy metals alone can cause inflammations, even if they're not, instigating the parasitic situations. Sure. A lot of people have super high iron levels, and I was in that same boat, and that alone can create inflammation. So there's always things to look at, but instead of just trying out different remedies, you want to keep looking at your body, your chemistry, try and figure out what's going on there.
Tom, Bedfordshire, United Kingdom. I have IBS. I cut out wheat, gluten, and yeast. I take 10 billion strength probiotics 30 days on, 30 days off. Seems to really help, but still get flare-ups now and again. 10 billion? What?
That's, he has to swallow 10 billion pills.
Wow.
No, that's just the amount of strains in the thing. So he's found some things that have worked for him, and there are things that we say can be beneficial, but you have to understand that doesn't mean that they're going to work for everybody. If you don't have any bile flow, those things may not help.
Yeah, and just like pounding a bunch of probiotics all the time, just because like, well, why not? That's also like not necessarily a good move. Like, I had one of my nutritionist friends was doing a ton of it, and he just felt like he always had to go to the bathroom. They had like healthy movements, but he just had like so many of them. And part of that's because like a good percentage, I think sometimes up to like 40% of our stool is actually probiotics. Like they're the actual bacteria in the stool. So you don't necessarily need to pound that much of it in your system. It's like, I like to think of like the probiotics like fish in a fish tank. And if you have like good clean water and food and filtration happening, like they're going to be healthy. You don't need to keep adding more fish all the time just because they're, you know, it's a fish tank. But it's, you don't need like 10 billion, 30 forever, most likely.
Right. Know? They will thrive if the terrain is correct for them to thrive. Yeah. And a volcano is not the good setting for them to live
right.
in. And when you're having diarrhea, your ass is like a volcano. That's what's going on. And you're frying those little probiotics every time.
And what should your poop, what should a pretty poop look like?
Let me show you.
Oh, okay. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, that is gorgeous, Tony. Wow. I like the C-shape.
Well, you don't, you know, it's important that it's not light colored, lighter than the color of corrugated cardboard, because that's an indication that you're not having the right amount of bile flow, and you want it to be formed.
Formed into an animal just, shape?
Yeah, you want to do animal crackers.
Just okay. To reiterate that bit about color, in case people didn't get that, it's because bile is really dark green.
Right.
And when you eat food and mixes with the food, it ends up being a dark brown, like a forest floor color, ideally.
Sure.
And so, okay. All right. Lori, I've had IBS for years. I don't know how I'm still fat when I poop this much. Shouldn't I be skinny?
Right, and that's what people think. But, you know, diarrhea can cause weight gain for a lot of reasons, just like constipation can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lack of minerals.
Right, yeah, you'll get crazy cravings, so you'll never feel satiated. You don't break down fats at all, so your body's going to have to turn more towards carbohydrates and sometimes proteins, which it may not be digesting well anyway. So all the fat that you eat ends up occurring to your body as a toxin that will then store in fat cells or make you nauseous or give you skin problems. And you'll keep craving carbs for the energy. So that will keep your insulin up and keep you out of the fat burning zone and keep you in this sugar roller coaster.
Right. Also, if you're not able to emulsify fats to use them, we need fats to function and to live and to thrive. So if you're not getting those through your diet because you can't digest them properly, your body will get defensive. It'll hold on to all the fat that it has, thinking I'm not getting what I need, so I'm going to hold on to this.
Okay, Glenn, I'd be interested in hearing about managing healing crisis and the process and pathways of getting the accumulated residue of gunk toxins inside the body back outside where they belong. All in one breath, people.
That was pretty good. And a deep, freaky voice like that.
It was.
Yeah.
So if somebody has constipation issues especially, and that stool is moving very slowly, it tends to get stuck on the side of the walls, and that makes it harder to absorb, and it'll stay in there for a long time. It's gook. So fiber can be helpful to move that out, but you still need to fix digestion or the problem will just continue. Fiber is not enough to do it.
Psyllium husk stuff.
That's fiber.
That's fiber.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and he was also mentioning healing crises and stuff.
I want to talk about that some. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, yeah, those are legit. A lot of the times when people go on cleanses and things like that, a lot of their symptoms are actually created not by cleansing, but by imbalances that they created on accident during the cleanse, like a juice fast, for example, like the lightheaded spaciness stuff. That's because their blood pressure is way low when they go on a juice cleanse, and they're actually in an electrolyte deficient state because their blood sugar and blood pressure is so unstable. So not all of those things are healing crises, and sometimes you're just pushing your chemistry way out of balance. But other times, like we see when people start like beet flow or do a coffee enema, they'll get itchy and feel like, you know, a lot of irritation because their bile is finally mobilized. And yeah, all those toxins are finally circulating and moving out of the body. So that can happen. I see it intensely when people do chelation. There's really obvious indications of like they're pulling like intense metals like mercury and lead and stuff out of your system. And people feel horrible during chelation. So that happens. And when that's happening, it's really nice to just try to keep the bile flowing well and do other things to help circulate the fluids out of your body.
Sure, like water. Drink some water.
Water.
A lot of people don't have that at all. Yeah.
Right. Rebounding, like getting your lymphatic system to move.
That means jumping on the little trampoline thing.
Right.
Or that doesn't mean like playing basketball and
trying to. Dennis Rodman. So, or if your blood pressure is in a stable position, infrared saunas and things can also help.
Yeah. Get the stuff moving out of the pores. But another thing that can cause what somebody may call a healing crisis is that when you change the way you eat, maybe you're eating a lot of garbage, a lot of processed junk, a lot of carbohydrates. When you stop doing that, the body doesn't have to store all that junk in fat cells. And it can say, hey, the coast is finally clear. We can pull some of this junk out of fat cells and start getting it out of the body. And sometimes it can pull out a little more than it can handle at a time. And it might need to push some out through the skin and you may feel a little lousy. But, you know, more water, all those things that Will said can help. But the other type of healing crisis is when you're working with some type of natural practitioner or something, and he's working on symptoms instead of looking at the person. And he says, well, this herb works for this symptom, so use it. And then you feel like crap. And he's like, well, that's just a healing crisis. And sometimes it's a practitioner crisis because they may be using something that's pushing you in the wrong direction and making you more imbalanced. So it's important to look at your actual physiology instead of using things just according to a symptom.
Very interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Okay, Cherie, I went to the doctor a few years ago complaining of my digestive issues, regular stomach pain and cramps, bloating, constipation followed by bouts of diarrhea, and was told, oh yeah, that definitely sounds like IBS. There's not a lot we can do about that. I could give you some laxative. I was blown away. No testing done, no attempt to understand my personal situation or what might be causing it. No discussion of my diet. I was expecting allergy tests and was sent away with a diagnosis but no way to deal with it other than eat your fruits and veggie brochure. I haven't been back to a doctor since.
And it's not that doctors, you know, are bad people when they, you know, but this happens a lot. This is pretty common. And it's just that it's not in their training. You know, so much of what is in their training are medications that turn digestion off. So if there was also in their training, you know, how important digestion is and how it's supposed to function and how to turn it on, then those two things would battle against each other and who would win. So it makes sense why they don't understand it and they just get kind of stumped. And that's kind of what we get stuck with a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just reminds me again of like how they just essentially parrot back what you just said, and it always infuriates me because that almost screwed me up a few times when I was trying to get over my own health issues like eczema and whatever other symptoms I was dealing with pain in my extremities. So that this person comes in and says like I have like all these intense pains in my digestive system, and then the doctor just says the same thing back to them. Yeah, irritable bowel syndrome. Oh, and it's just like. Are you serious? Like
yeah,
that was
your you get.
That was
you
8 years.
One test,
that was 8 years, $500,000 of education.
Right.
I said my tummy hurts. Yeah. You said my tummy hurts in Latin. That's what I get.
Yeah. Right. And that's kind of so. I feel for Cherie. I know how that goes. But at least now she can figure out what's going on.
All right, Dawn. I started my venture 12 years ago in natural health, but cause of the same symptoms that Cherie. Oh. Never mind. Some other person that I nearly said, Cherie, but I can't say the last name
oh,
right.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah. I'll start this again. I started my venture 12 years ago in natural health, but cause of the same symptoms that Cherie shared, absent the diarrhea part, my pains were so bad I would literally be doubled over on the floor. My husband would take me to the emergency room. They would do their standard testing and then send me home saying my intestines were backed up. They would give me some laxatives and magnesium citrate. Is that how you say it?
Citrate.
The magnesium citrate would work temporarily and take the pains away for about 3 or 4 days, and then it would hit me again. This went on for about a month. I was in tears. After 3 visits to the ER and a dozen or so at the doctor's office, I finally got this message on my answering machine. Remember when we had those? Don, we don't know what to do with you. That was it. Nothing else. Mo, it keeps going. My friend suggested that I see her herbalist. I went rolling my eyes the whole way. I let the lady do her testing without telling her my symptoms. She told me I was magnesium deficient, which would explain the relief I got from the citrate. But in the end, she taught me to change my diet and gave me some supplementation. I have come a long way since then and study all the time, knowing that there is always more to learn. I have never been to a doctor since and have not needed one. Why would I? They wrote me off. I study and use my instincts. Stay in there, people. You will get answers.
So do you want to talk about how magnesium was maybe helping her from being plugged up?
Yeah, so when we look at that, this person should maybe listen to our podcast on constipation, because it's dealing more so with the first half of digestion and the content of the stomach not moving quickly enough through the system. So magnesium, and that's usually an issue with an anabolic person when they don't have the stomach acid that's necessary to break stuff down. And magnesium can help push a person into a more catabolic state where your stools would tend to be looser. So it could help correct this plugged up problem.
Right. So if she's having all this pain from everything backed up and expanding and making her, you know, intestinal tract big and expanded, then yeah, that would have helped. But improving that anabolic imbalance could help her in the long run, as well as improving the digestive issues. So beyond the questions, there was a couple other things that I wanted to hit on, and that is, when you look up stuff about IBS and Crohn's, they talk about all these other symptoms that go along with it, and things like mental issues and depression and all those kind of things. So do you want to explain why that can happen?
Yeah, well, when digestion's off, we know the body doesn't get the resources that it needs, and a lot of the foods that you're eating, even if they're like healthy from your own garden, organically grown, will end up occurring to your body as a toxin because you didn't break it down well. So when our body's just constantly battling toxins with no resources to fight it off with, it's going to create all sorts of problems like energy, anxiety, depression, lethargy, skin issues, all sorts of tissue breakdowns, and yeah.
Right. So there are a long list of symptoms that can go along with IBS, but when you look at those are the same things that we see that go along with poor digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense, and that's fun when things make sense. The other thing that I wanted to cover was I wanted to talk about Kenna's diarrhea.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Can we just start an episode just on that?
Yeah just on Kenna's ass. You know, and I had diarrhea issues too, and it's just not fun. It's not what the cool kids do. And what we see is, like we talked about, in most cases, it's either something irritating that intestinal tract, like grains or something, or a lack of bile flow. But in some rare cases, and when I say rare, it's probably...
You were irritating me. That's
yes,
why
I was irritating. That's why you had diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. Tony excessive. Mm-hmm.
But when I say rare, it's probably 10% of the chronic diarrhea cases. In the same way that over-acidic product leaving the stomach that doesn't get neutralized can irritate the intestinal tract, so the body rushes it through real fast. In that same way, stuff that's overly alkaline can also irritate the intestinal tract and make the body rush it through. Mm-hmm. So sometimes diarrhea can be caused by not enough stomach acid, but proper bile flow. So now everything you ate is super alkaline. Mm-hmm. So you really have to look at yourself. If you're doing things to improve bile flow, but the diarrhea is not improving, there may be a situation where you need more stomach acid. And we teach how to do all that in the 4-week course.
Yeah. And don't think that just because it's pop culture, like promotion to say everyone's too acidic, don't think that you can't be too alkaline. Even if you eat fast food, like you can be. Like, it's not, pH is a way more complicated thing than people make it out to be. And just as many people that I test and see are too alkaline as there are too acidic.
Right.
So don't think that might not be you if you've tried everything else. Don't think it's impossible, because it could be yours. Cause of your problem.
So the moral of this show is basically to any time that you have an opportunity to talk about how Kenny used to have a lot of diarrhea,
mm-hmm.
you take it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that this IBS, Crohn's, colitis, all these situations are things where you can't treat the symptoms and expect to have success, because the underlying causes for these things are so widely varied. You really need to look at your body and figure out what the cause is, so that you can then work to improve that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work, Tony.
It's a lot of work, but so is sitting on the toilet 12 times a day.
Yeah.
And people that have that issue are like, I'll vote for the work.
Yeah.
I'll vote for that every time.
Yeah. I mean, where your butt is so sore from wiping, it just...
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickinginthenuts.com. Until next time.
I know a place where the sun is always